In God's reign, the rich will be sent away empty. Jesus uses a parable to warn against identifying the worth of one's life with the value of one's possessions rather than one's relationship with God. The Holy Gospel for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. In there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's now less than a month until my daughter's wedding. And so my stress level's going up, but also I'm starting to think about how different it's going to be at home after my daughter is married. And so something I've had in my brain for a long time is coming to the front of my brain a little more, and that's that word downsizing. I need to downsize. I don't need 4 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. I don't need all of that extra stuff. But I seem to have trouble when it comes to downsizing. When my mother died in 2013, I acquired all of her stuff. So I have all of her stuff with my stuff. Now my sister said at the time that when she retired, she would come back to North Dakota from Washington and we would go through all that stuff. Well, then in 2018, my sister died. And so that never happened. Besides my stuff and my mom's stuff, I also have all my daughter's stuff from the time she was little. And that her life is going to be kind of fluid for a while after her marriage with finishing med school and residency. I'm afraid I'm going to have that stuff for quite a while yet too. But downsizing for me has been more upsizing. So as I thought about that in our text today about the size of barns, I got to thinking about that word we have today in our world, the big box stores. So I looked up the definition of a big box store, and it's just that. It's a store that looks like a big box. They're usually a big rectangular structure of metal and concrete. They have a metal roof and they're surrounded by parking lots. But there's something else about a big box store. Not only does it look like a big box on the outside, but guess what? Inside, they also have big boxes of stuff. The first time I went in Sam's Club, I was blown away. Who knew you could get a box of 48 frosted cinnamon Pop-Tarts? I didn't know they came in a box like that, but they do. Or do you like those Italian-style meatballs? You can get a bag there of 128 of them. That's good. That's all a part of upsizing. I shared that word with Pastor Mark, upsizing, and he said to me in reply, "Do you want fries with that?" Yeah, that's pretty true, isn't it? Why not make it a combo meal? And then Sunday, of course, is not only the Lord's Day, it's also around our community, buffet day, which really fits in well with all that upsizing. Internet speed too slow? Move it up a level, or two, or even three. You can do it. It's part of how we're wired today. I kind of struggle with it, though. Especially after last Sunday's gospel text on the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Somehow that word daily is also trying to get in my ears. Upsizing and daily are kind of at odds with one another, it seems. But that's how it is. I'd like to share with you today a story written by Leo Tolstoy back in the late 1800s. It's a story about a man named Martin. Here's the story. Martin worked in a factory in town, but he also had a small farm of 30 acres where he grew vegetables that he and his wife would sell at a roadside stand. Martin would get up in the morning to work on his farm, go into town to work at the factory, then come home and work on the farm till nightfall. At night, as they sat to eat dinner, Martin's wife would say to him, "Martin, we are most fortunate that our vegetables grow so well. People buy everything we grow." But Martin was not satisfied. He wanted more land. Shortly afterward, Martin borrowed some money and bought another 30 acres next to his property. He still kept his job at the factory and now worked longer into the night to have a prosperous crop for his roadside stand. One night after returning late from the fields, Martin's wife said, "Martin, God has been good to us. The warm sun and the abundant rainfall have filled our stand, and still the people buy all we grow." But Martin was not satisfied. He wanted more land. Soon afterward, Martin was able to buy another 140 acres for his farm. He quit his job at the factory so he could work full-time on the farm. But even though he worked full-time, there were not enough hours of the day to get everything done. When he and his wife would have time to talk to one another, she would say, "Who could be more fortunate than we, Martin? Our fields are full and we sell everything we grow." But Martin was not satisfied. Soon Martin was able to buy another 250 acres of land. He closed his roadside stand, hired people to help out and manage the farm. He built refrigerated storage buildings to store his crops. His wife worked on the books. When they would go out for dinner, she would say to him, "God is good to us, Martin. There is nothing we lack. We have everything we need." But Martin was not satisfied. "I do not have enough land," he would say. "If I could buy land south of here, we could grow crops that our climate will not allow." Soon Martin was able to buy 300 acres of land in the south. He began commuting between farms and working long hours on weekends. After a very long day, Martin suffered a heart attack and died. He was buried in a small cemetery plot, 7 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet deep. That was just enough land. That story is rather brooding, and there's two perspectives within it. Martin's wife is one who was daily grateful, for everything they had. And then there was Martin who was not satisfied. For him, gratefulness was somewhere down the road. Satisfaction had not come to him yet, but was off in the distance. That's kind of how life gets. I remember when I was little, my folks would tell me that growing up on farms in Divide County, they were always excited when they could go to Alamo, North Dakota. That was the greatest place for them. There they found their satisfaction. The people in Alamo, they went to Crosby and found satisfaction there. If you were in Crosby, you were not happy being there. You went to Wollaston. People in Wollaston are not happy there. They go to Minot. And I know a lot of people in Minot love to come to Bismarck. I also know a lot of people in Bismarck love to go to Fargo. They can't wait. And even there in Fargo, the largest city in North Dakota, people can't wait to go to the Twin Cities. And who knows, maybe they want to go to Chicago. That's how it is. Satisfaction is always a little beyond our reach, and we're not there yet. Today, though, we are reminded to be daily grateful. That's a different way of looking at life. That we really have our satisfaction already in us because we hold in us the gifts of God that you cannot buy at any big box store. No matter how you look, you will not find love, you will not find forgiveness, you will not find compassion or mercy or peace. But those are gifts from God given freely to you and I. And you and I are called to find our satisfaction there. And so today, as you and I continue to struggle with life and where things are, God is calling us back to be grateful daily. I've been a pastor for over 35 years, and I've had now almost 600 funerals. And one thing I've noticed, I've never seen a trailer hitch on a funeral coach. You cannot take it with you. What can you take with you? God's love, God's forgiveness and mercy, peace, compassion. You can take those wherever you go, and you can give them away. And that gives great satisfaction. Thanks be to God. Amen.